Hi, I'm Jessie Ware, and I have decided to make a podcast with my mum, Table Manners. Say hi, mum.
Hi.
Hi. It makes me laugh every time she does it. It's so awkward. It's a podcast about food, family, and the art of a good old chit-chat. I've decided to rope my mother into this because she's the best cook I know. And what we do every week is we invite a guest over to be cooked for by my mum. Oh no, fuck.
Because you don't know what... You need to think about what you're saying before you say it.
Would you like to introduce it? Sorry.
Well, I don't think you can call it the art of chit-chat.
All right, fine. Fuck off, right? Right, just go.
It's about food, family and conversation, wherever the conversation takes us.
Okay, there you go.
Because that sounds more exciting. It's like promising something.
There you go, sorted.
Yeah, because, you know, maybe food and family are not what everyone turns everyone on.
But good conversation does.
About
is that what turns
you? Like Mum! No, but you know what I mean.
We don't even talk about sex.
Why haven't we? Who are we having tonight, darling?
We've got, you know him, it's Sam Smith.
Oh, fantastic.
You've met him a few times, haven't you?
I think I've met him once.
Oh, at Wilderness Festival.
Yeah, Wilderness Festival.
He's a really good friend of mine and I adore him. And regardless of kind of all the enormous fame and fortunes he's had, he is the most fabulous friend and loves food. We both love food.
Good.
Maybe too much sometimes, but yeah.
Good.
So tonight, I thought the remit was a healthy meal because he's always on a bloody diet like me. But I've just texted him and said, don't worry, babe, it's healthy tonight. And he said, oh, babe, let's eat whatever. Well, we're not eating... Well, we're eating a delicious meal, but it's rather...
It's Kentucky fried chicken, yeah.
And he loves Kentucky.
I do too. We could have gone out and got it in.
Oh, we could go.
That would have been my pleasure.
Well, we'll see.
It'll sure be my last meal before I died. Kentucky.
Why?
I just love it and I never eat it because it's so fattening.
So I met Sam side stage at Plan B in Brixton, both of us waiting to go on and sing with Disclosure. It was one of their first live shows. And so I met this completely fabulous, wonderful guy waiting to go on. Had heard about him. I think I'd heard Latch, but hadn't met Sam. So we met side stage, waiting to go on and kind of like dancing whilst we introduced ourselves to each other. From then on, there were plenty of side stage dances together and voguing, but actually just became really great mates who have kept in touch and always check up on each other, especially at hard times of touring and promoting albums, which at the moment we are both doing, which... is rather stressful, so I'd be interested to see how his promotion of his record's going.
Hey!
Hello, Sam Smith! Right, what can I get you to drink?
Coffee.
What?
Coffee, please.
Oh, hold on,
I'm going to be boring today.
I know about this.
I made a bet with Max.
Who's Max?
Max Gerrans.
I know who Max is, but everyone else doesn't.
I made a bet with him that I basically said I didn't want to drink Christmas Eve. And he said I couldn't do it. And I was like, I'm going to show you. And
why
if,
don't you
if
want
I
to drink
make it to Christmas Eve, he has to get a tattoo of my choice. And he's never had a tattoo before.
And isn't it going to be on his bottom?
On his lower back.
And what are you going to put down?
Dick Whisperer. Is that amazing? I won't make him do it.
He
thinks I'm going to make him get Dick Whisperer.
How are you finding not drinking?
It's interesting. It's cleared my head massively.
No,
but the last
so
week
boring.
Has been super stressful and I really just want
to... You just want a bloody drink.
Yeah, I just want wine. It's fine. It's fine. That's why I'm having
smoking.
Cigarettes.
Yeah, well, hold on a minute. I'm going to get you coffee. Do you just want black coffee or do you want...
Black.
I've got almond milk if
Black's
you want.
Great.
Okay, fine.
Thank you.
Right, I'm heating up the food. Babe, it's like, so I thought that you were being really healthy. That's what Max said, your manager. He was like, Sam's on a healthy tip. So I was like, yeah, fine. We've done something relatively healthy.
Babe.
I mean, Mum got you courgette. She didn't know what cauliflower rice was. But we've got it, but we've actually just got white rice, which is
perfect.
Far more delicious.
I prefer rice. I wanted to save myself for this.
Okay, fine. But it's not going to like make you hate yourself after.
No, God no, jeez. I've been eating so badly in New York.
Did you go to Carbone?
What's that?
Oh my God, it's the best Italian ever. They do this vodka pasta,
which is insane. I went to San Ambrosia. Have you been there?
No,
it's incredible. It's Italian as well. They do good Italian in New York.
They really do. So you were there because you were doing SNL.
Yeah. It was stressful, I'm not going to lie.
Was it? Why?
Why do you think, Mum? It's his first thing back from being like the biggest pop star in the world.
But it's like, do you know what it is? It's like in that moment, I mean, obviously you feel like you're in a team, you know this, Jessie, but you feel you have a team around you. But in that moment, it's all on you. It's all on you and it's live. And it was, I nearly puked in the restaurant whilst I was singing because I was starting to feel a bit sick as well. It was horrible. But then I just had a bit of Coca-Cola. Chilled my stomach out.
It was really that bad?
Yeah. But I got through it, which was great.
Because I always just think of you as brilliant at live. Well, you're the most capable singer I know, but like you are brilliant at singing live. And I had to get a hypnotherapist for my Jules Holland performance.
I didn't think you
got that scared.
No, I'm getting more and more scared.
Oh,
it's
shit.
Really intense.
Why?
I don't know.
But you're fabulous. Why would you be scared?
I don't know, but in the moment,
it's the pressure.
I forget to sing, how to sing. You forget everything. It's the live TVs that are so intense.
And it's like, I think the thing that people forget is your voice. Like, as soon as you're nervous, dry throat, clamps up, can't do it. It's not like playing a trumpet and you can just like play it.
So true. There's no room for human error, is there, really?
No.
And it's sad because you think back at all the music that I'm inspired by, and I know that you are too, is imperfect, you know? Those old soul records, you know, those... Look at Etta James performing live and all that stuff. She was messing up all the time, but it was part of it, and it was part of the... But because of autotune and because of all of that, I feel like everyone just wants you to be on the money every time, and it's
exhausting. And I think talent shows too.
Yeah.
Because I know that I talk about when they go a bit flat. But then I listened to, I saw the Whitney documentary recently.
Oh, my God, me too.
Cried.
The BBC one?
The Nick Brimfield one.
Yeah.
And, you know, she goes really flat.
Yeah.
And I don't care.
Yeah, completely.
You don't care.
No, because it's feeling.
Yeah.
It's feeling. It was great. New York's amazing.
Well, I mean...
Exciting.
It's SNL, I've never done it. It's like the biggest TV show to do.
Yeah.
Because you do how many songs of your own?
You do two, but then you rehearse on the Thursday and the Saturday you come in and you do two more rehearsals. So it's like this big performance that is built up.
And do you have to do like comedy skits?
No, I didn't do that.
Fuck no. But you're funny.
We can swear, right?
Babe, okay, it's my podcast, come on. So to bring it back to the reason we're here, firstly, thank you so much for doing this.
Babe, are you joking?
Any excuse to see you.
Any excuse to see
you. And any excuse to eat with you.
Yes.
We've had good meals together.
So many good meals.
We love food.
I love food more than my family.
It's the best thing
in
the world.
It is. It's the only thing that actually gets me through my every day.
It's so good. Yeah, however, you have to deny yourself a lot of food when you've done, your...
Yeah, but do you know what? I've got to a point now where it doesn't feel like I'm denying it. I actually enjoy those things. And when I eat badly, I kind of feel bad. But I'm in a really good place at the moment where, for me, eating badly is like having loads of McDonald's. Then I feel bad. But I'm able to have my rice and potatoes now and enjoy it. So I've got a nice balance at the moment.
So can I ask you, because I guess for me, just to explain, I decided to do this podcast because obviously, you know, my mum's a really good cook. She always does this face where she goes, no. She's great. And food's been always important to our family. Like, with you growing up, were you a foodie family?
Massively. My dad couldn't cook, so my dad was a house husband. Mm-hmm. Well, he could cook. It's really bad for me to say that, but he just used... Every time we follow a recipe, he just would pour water in it. I remember him cooking this amazing curry once, and he followed the recipe, and it was this Jamie Oliver recipe. It was incredible. And then he just put the whole entire pot under the tap. I don't know why he did it. It's really weird.
Maybe he thought it wasn't enough salt.
Yeah, maybe. But he never trusted the recipe. So Dad would always ruin the meals at the last minute. But food-wise, as a kid, it was my mum. My mum's cooking was outrageous. But we also, as a kid, I was very lucky. I went out to eat a lot, which was great.
But you grew up near Cambridge.
Yeah, near Cambridge countryside. So there were some beautiful places to go to. But yeah, food... Do you know, I've always had a weird relationship with food, though. It's something that I love so much. Mm. Like, my sisters were never that fussed by it.
I know. I live to eat rather than eat to live.
Me too.
Definitely.
It's not a problem. I think it's a gift. I really do believe it's a gift. Yeah. Because I used to watch my sisters and being forced to finish their plates every day.
I don't understand that.
It's mad.
I'm already thinking about my second plate when I've just got my serving.
I'm thinking about my breakfast on the way home tonight. Yeah, it's mad.
But so your mum was a really good cook.
Mum's unbelievable. She's got better now, but she was incredible. But it would, because she worked in the city, it'd be once a week, which made it more of an event, I guess.
So what would it be like, weekends with the family?
Weekends,
like roasts.
Roasts. She's amazing at all different types of Thai food, but she just loves following recipes. So she'll just go in.
So they're both quite strict. They do follow a recipe.
Yeah, massively. And Dad tries to.
Oh, bless him.
He used to just cook a lot of jacket potatoes and cheese and beans, which is still my favourite thing in the world.
Me too.
Loads of cheese and beans.
Well, I like... So Sam, my husband, who you know, likes to have cold baked beans.
Oh.
I didn't understand it until I had it. So we love... No. Jacket potato night is one of my favourite nights, where you have it... And you have all the different toppings. So you do tuna mayonnaise.
Tuna, yeah. Coleslaw.
Nice salad. I like to do grated carrot with some cheddar, just because you feel a bit less guilty. And then he has cold beans.
That's strange. I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't...
Does it taste good?
I just don't understand why you'd have cold beans.
Me either.
I don't know if it's his way of trying to be salt of the earth and, like, brings them back to camping in the Lake District. I don't fucking know. But you had a stove there too, babe. But anyway, I have to have cold beans. But I do love a jacket potato.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Do you cook?
I try to, but for me, cooking in my family, actually, my mum's side of the family is a huge thing that I link it with getting older. Like, I can't wait to get, like, 60, 70 and just, like, cook. It's like my retirement plan.
Would you open a restaurant?
No, just like family cooking. I just think it's something that I just want to do when I have more time. And really do it every night.
But so like, do you ever cook at home?
I do actually, yeah. I cook, but mainly really basic stuff.
Like what?
Roasted butternut squash with feta and all that stuff.
Okay,
and then I go to like the butchers and stuff and get amazing meats. And stuff like that. But
I always ruin the amazing meats that I get from the butchers because I always kind of am impatient and I just turn the heat up
really
quickly.
You should tell them how to... I ask them, I'm like, how do you cook it? And they'll tell me, it's incredible.
But you... Yeah, I mean, I remember you came over here. I loved it. You got trained by my husband, personal training. And then to celebrate your training, you brought over cakes for me and you to eat.
Healthy cakes.
They were heaven
sent. I had one today.
Sent.
Ridiculous.
Can you just explain what they are? Because
they're called aphrodisiac cakes, and it's like this gooey chocolate tart thing. But it's all made with cacao, raw, and like coconut butter and stuff like that. It's great.
Will you tell Sam what's on the menu tonight?
I did turkey meatballs. Well,
that is not exciting, Sam, but it was because we were trying to do it lean.
Yeah.
They're really very light, and they're almost as good as the Greek ones that the Sousoulakia, you know, the ones that are very, very light. So and you make them, and you put Parmesan inside. So they do taste nice, I hope.
Beautiful.
So we did get you cauliflower rice and courgette, but
let's just go rice.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
I thought Mexico was in Europe until last year. I got a plane with my manager, and he said, and I didn't have any hand luggage, and he was like, "Why have you not got any hand luggage?" And I was like, "It's just like a 2-hour plane journey to Mexico," and he was like, "No, Sam." Where do you think Mexico is? And I thought Mexico was like near Germany. Because if you look at pictures, it looks very Spanish. Not that Spain is near Germany, but it looks very Spanish and everyone speaks Spanish, and I just didn't realise it was so far away.
So, had you packed correctly?
Nope.
Why are you in Mexico on a holiday?
No, just gigs. Got a shock on my life. It's a 12-hour plane journey.
Very different to Spain and Germany.
I would like to have taken the baby to Senegal this Thursday.
I've never been to a synagogue.
Sukkot's gone. Oh, it's Simchat Torah now. With the flags.
Why did you get so bloody Jewish?
I'm not so Jewish, but the children have the flags and they give them sweets and they wave the flags.
Well, Mum, I'm relying on you to educate my child.
Well, if you lived in South London, we'd be all right.
Well, there we go. This is like, yeah, okay. Can I whip cream with a hand blender? I'm not fucking whipping it for like, I've got one of those bloody things, I just can't find them. Hold on, Mum. Mum, we need whipped cream. This is going to be an issue.
Have you got a whisk?
I don't mind having non-whipped cream.
No, I mind.
How do you whip cream?
Have you got ice cream as well?
No, this is an absolute mess, Mum. Hold on. I found a whisk.
Okay, well that could take 20 minutes.
Oh, hold on, no.
That could take 20 minutes. Oh my God, look at that whisk.
Should I just try and do it for a bit? Yeah. I mean, how long is it going to take?
A little while, darling.
Think of those arm muscles, babe.
No, I haven't been able to work out for ages. I've just had one Pete Sampras, like, bloody bicep. Oh no, Mum, it's already whipping.
Good.
Oh my God, I'm incredible.
Whip it good. Into
Was
shape.
It real?
It's not too late.
I've overdone it. How can
how
I overdo
did you
that?
Do that?
Oh my God, that's whipped so quickly.
No, what the fuck?
We froze our guinea pigs by accident when we were kids.
What? How did you freeze
them? We left them in the garage and they froze.
Shit.
I know, but we thought garage was warm.
Hard.
Yeah. And we put like padding and everything there, but they died.
Oh my God.
We had a nightmare as kids with pets. We had like, all our hamsters got eaten by
the
cat.
Oh yeah, the gerbil, yeah.
Jar Jar Binks was my first hamster, just got mutilated.
Oh, sorry, can you please, just because...
Oh, God.
No, it's just because I feel like not enough people know how... Well, I mean, a lot of people know you're funny, but, like, I've never... No, it's going to be really embarrassing for you, but I don't care. Do your impersonation that I love you to do.
Colin?
Yeah.
It's going to sound weird with a cold.
No, it's going to sound amazing.
You stupid fat hobbit! It's good, isn't it? You ruined it! My precious. Is it good?
So good!
Very good.
My precious.
Now you've got the role.
Throw that back in
us. So good. I'm not going to tell. We had the best Glastonbury of our lives. Me just basically making him repeat that till 6 o'clock in the morning.
That's my memory of you, babe, you know. I have to tell
you. Pissing in a bush together.
Oh my gosh.
Remember that?
When you were pissed, you were squatting in the bush in Glastonbury.
Babe,
I was
you were
dead.
Pissing right by me.
Oh
dog.
My God. But my favourite.
Your daughter.
I don't know if you know this, but the first time I ever met Jesse. I was working in a bar in London and I took 2 days off of work to go to Bestival to perform with
Is
Disclosure for the first time.
Oh God, I've done the wrong story then.
No.
Is that we met at Bestival?
First time we ever met and I was on the side of the stage and I'd taken a day off work and I was shitting myself because I'd never performed in front of anyone before and I had to sing Latch and sing with like Disclosure and I wasn't familiar with dance music. I remember watching YouTube videos of you performing in Ibiza with Annie Mac before I'd even met you, just trying to gauge like how I would perform.
Oh, shut up.
And I stood side of stage in the best of all, in the big top 10, and I watched you do your set. And then my first memory of Jessie is she met me before and she was like, how are you? And
so
you were very
you
sweet. No, before I went on, in best of all, we
I
met outside.
We met at Plan B on the side of the stage.
No,
shit,
that was
I'm
after.
A terrible friend. Okay, go on.
And then I was performing Latch and something was wrong with my in-ears. And I panicked because I'd never performed with in-ears before. And I turned to my right and you were on the side of the stage. And you ran around the back of the stage to the sound desk and you were helping me with my sound. And we'd only just met, and you literally saved me.
The people's princess, they call
me. You're just such a beautiful person.
Oh, babe, no, that I was saying that my intro, well, I got the wrong bloody day. I thought we met
that
at Plan B. Okay. But I just remember it was basically how our romance started, that we would dance and Vogue on the side of the stage to Disclosure. We knew the set off by heart.
Yeah.
Be like, something is
boiling.
Oh my God,
yeah, it's
incredible. And then it'd be like, bit into when a fire starts to burn.
Vogue.
Yeah, and it was so much fun.
It was so, back then it was, there was an excitement, wasn't there?
And there was an innocence about it.
Yeah, really was.
There was a real scene and it was just
And none of us knew what we were doing. Oh, wow.
You don't have to have all of it.
Yes, I do.
Okay, good.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Sorry, it's a bit pudding. Mum, announce. Please announce what we're eating.
Okay, so there's meringues with cream.
Over with another set batch of over whipped
cream. Did you make the meringue?
No, I didn't.
Oh my!
No,
God.
But they're not. They're not shop bought.
My friend Anne's Sweeney makes the best meringues.
So you basically made them.
Yeah.
John Berry's.
Yeah. Okay. That's enough then.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm never mad about summer fruits.
Oh, I do. I
don't really
like
fruit.
I like them with. I like them with yogurt. With
that leads me to my next question. What is your comfort food? What's your go-to comfort food?
Crunchy peanut butter with jam on a cinnamon bagel with loads of butter. Toasted with a glass of milk.
Oh, sweet. Oh, that's a nice sweet one. Yeah. And why is that? Does it take you back to your childhood?
Yeah, my grandma was the reason why I got fat. She used to feed me up. My mum and dad would be like, you need to stop eating, when I was like 13 because I was getting huge. And grandma would be like, he's young, he's growing, let him eat. And my parents were really strict, so they were like, he can't eat bad food. And I have a very fond memory of my grandma waking me up at 3 a.m. in my summer holidays and taking me downstairs and just sitting with me on the kitchen bench, just feeding me peanut butter and jam on a spoon.
I love her.
Yeah, she was amazing.
Which grandma was it? Your mum's mum?
It's my mum's mum, yeah. She was incredible. Incredible.
When did she pass away?
When I was 19. She got really sick. And we thought she was going to die, and we all said her goodbyes, and then she had another year. And she was amazing. She was smoking weed to the very end. Because she was in so much pain, they just gave her weed. So she was just high, basically, for the last year of her life. She had a fabulous time. She had a fabulous time.
Was she a good cook?
No.
So she was just kind of the naughty influence, the bad influence?
Yeah, just a lot of grilled cheese sandwiches and stuff. But she was... Such a, oh God, there's nothing better than having that grandma that it just gives you all the things you shouldn't have. And it's just amazing.
It's like Gaga, my mum's grandma. My mum's mum. I mean, hers was mostly predominantly like gefilte fish, which I don't know, I had a really big thing for. It was like fried fish. Balls.
It's mixed fish and you put it in balls and you...
It's a Jewish thing. It's
fish balls. Really.
Some people would like
really
it,
delicious.
But it was good.
What's your favourite thing to cook?
I like doing Friday night dinner. So I like doing chicken soup with matzo balls, chopped
I've
liver.
I've never had that either.
You see, I think everyone should have that.
I know, sorry, we should have done it.
No, I've never had it.
Friday night dinner
is
great.
We'll come out to Mum's for a Friday night dinner.
Mm. Yeah, and we have lots of people, it's always fun. So I like chopped liver. Have you ever had that in...
No.
Not in New York? So it sounds horrible, but it's chicken livers.
Have you never been to
make it with
Tats's
egg.
Deli? When you've been in New York?
Never been.
It's
but I know where it is and I know
right.
The history of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, chicken soup with matzo balls, which are very light. They're just like a dumpling. They're delicious. And then roast chicken often.
You're smashing it.
Yeah, smashing it with other people's meringue.
Yeah, but it's clever. Resourceful.
Yeah.
Otto Lengi's meringues. Have you ever seen them?
Yeah, they'll do that pistachio ones.
I love carrot cake.
Do you?
Really? Yeah, I'm obsessed with
that's
cake.
Your go-to cake?
Yeah, isn't it weird?
Why?
Carrot cake and a Horlicks.
I love Horlicks! Oh my God, I haven't had a Horlicks for about 20 years.
In Whitley Bay, like near Newcastle, they do this Horlicks by the seaside, which is just the best.
Why do you go there?
That's where my mum's family come from. But Whitley Bay is beautiful, but recently it's really run down, but I think they're putting more money into it and because it's such a beautiful seaside town.
So what, you'd go there for family holidays?
Yeah, all the time, like 4 or 5 times a year.
And you'd have a Horlicks on the beach?
Yeah, there's this old cafe called Rendezvous and they haven't changed a thing for like 50 years.
Love the name.
It's beautiful and they have this amazing Horlicks that they give you in those.
But how do they do it differently or is it literally just like
milk? It's more creamy and milky. And
is hot Bovril just a northern thing or is it a London thing?
I've never tried it.
You get it at football.
You get it at football, but I don't know if they do it at football in London.
Do they do it at football in London?
I don't think they do, you know.
No, I think it's
they're more pucker pies here.
Yeah, pucker pies.
Fucking hell, football.
Pucker pies.
It's just like pies. Crappy pies that are quite nice.
Do you like football?
Yeah.
I used to adore it, and I feel like I've neglected it since I've been a singer. I can't kind of have my attention on both things.
I can't stand it. My dad used to force me to go since I was like 5.
Well, who does he support?
I used to eat the pies and just look at the boys. and just
just pray I didn't get punched in the face because everyone was so aggressive around me.
What? Who does he support?
Fulham.
They're not even that bad.
It's aggressive for me. Everyone gets when I used to dread when they'd score because everyone would just go fucking mental and it would scare the shit out of me. I'm just sitting there with my pie, just trying to have a chill time.
There's some Michael Jackson statue there. Though.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know they've taken it away.
Why? I know.
Because it's obscene.
It was pretty hideous.
Terrible.
But it's a beautiful ground.
It's the best ground. Yeah. And if you're a bit fed up and you go out for a hamburger, you can see all the river. It's pretty beautiful,
yeah. All my family work on the vegetable stalls on North End Road.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, market traders. They're proper Cockney.
Is this on your dad's side?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating. They all still work there now.
How did your mum and dad meet?
They met in a pub in, Turnham Green.
So then how did they end up out in Cambridge?
Well, my mum was working in the city. Mm. My dad was working with mentally handicapped people. I don't know, actually. I think they just wanted to move into the countryside. But then, and they moved to a place called Linton. And then I was born, but I was a mistake.
Really?
Well, not a mistake. Why? Is that the wrong word? I wasn't meant to be in terms of her being pregnant, but yeah, I'm the oldest. But then I think when I was born, it changed everything. And then 3 years later, my sister Lily was born, and then they got a bigger house in the countryside, and really set up there. And then they broke up, and now Mum lives back in London, and Dad still lives there.
Together.
No, but it's like I always dread saying it because I think people think, oh no, that's really bad. But they're best friends. That's really lovely.
That's really rare.
When they were splitting up, I remember being 18 and just being like, I won't allow this to happen if this is going to be a nasty thing. Like, we can do this and you can break up and still be friends. And they're still really good friends.
We were talking before, but like, you were saying something about your music and how you decided on the songs on this record. How did you do it?
Meals Like This were a huge part of the making of this record because I'd go to the studio and for the whole year my aim was just to be there for my family. For 3 years it was about me all the time and I just wanted to be there for them and for it to be about their issues or what they were going through. So that's what I did in the whole year and a half I was off. I'd be in the studio during the day, finish at 5-6 and just go and spend time with my family every night. But that's how I shared the music with them as well. Like, we'd sit and have amazing meals, and my mum's all drink some wine. Mm. And then after a bit of wine, I felt a bit confident to be able to play a few tunes. And then I'd play the tunes, and they'd give me their honest opinion. And you'd see in their faces if it moved them or not.
Does anybody else sing in your family?
My mum could hold a tune. My sister Mabel can sing. But no, not professionally or anything.
So how did it happen that you became so kind of crazy about singing? When did you realise you got a voice?
It's got the most amazing voice.
Well, I know, but when did you realise that?
Was it the voice?
Do you know what? It's so weird for me because singing wasn't even something that I was just like, I love this so much. It was more like, I remember just singing at being like eight years old and I'd sing along to all my mum's songs in the car because it was a 20-minute drive from our house into town because we lived in quite a remote countryside.
So what would you be playing?
Aretha. Whitney, yeah.
Snap,
Stevie,
exactly the same
Shaka
as
Khan.
Yeah,
and I used to just belt away, and it was my dad who said, "Would you be up for doing singing lessons?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." I think I remember just being young and wanting to be good at something because I wasn't very good in school or anything else, and I was like, "Yeah, of course." And Dad, really, I don't know why he did this, and I do think it's the main reason why I sing how I sing now, is he went to a local jazz singer who wasn't even a teacher.
So clever.
And he was like, would you teach my son how to sing? And she was like, I don't teach, but yeah, just have a lesson. And
How did he know her?
He just heard her voice in like local jazz bars.
Oh my God, that's so clever.
Yeah, and then my dad, and then she was like, just bring the music you want to sing and we'll sing it. And I remember being like 10, bringing Amy Winehouse, You Sent Me Flying.
Oh,
which is probably not appropriate for a 10-year-old to sing. But I remember bringing the musical score and playing it, and she'd play the piano and I'd just sing. And that was my singing lessons for like 4 or 5 years, was just singing songs that I wanted to sing with her.
I wished I'd done singing lessons like that. I did classical.
I got into classical after.
which is equally as important.
It's important, but like, I just wanted to do the jazz musical numbers, so like, but.
But the classical gives you that support.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. But you've got it too, you're all right.
But that's from my musical theatre training, that's how I got the stomach support that you need.
Did you want to be a musical theatre star? Or did you want to be a pop star?
I had a really weird period when I was 14, 15. I had my first manager when I was 11.
Bloody hell, so how did you find that?
It's a guy that wanted to help me out locally. He was managing the
jazz
teacher.
Well, then your voice must have been pretty remarkable at that age.
So that was
like,
before your voice broke.
Yeah. I remember sitting with my mum crying one time because I was like, I need to decide right now what I want to do.
Oh, and how old are you?
Because I was 14, 15. I was like, I need to decide what I want to do career-wise because I need to start work now. That's what I remember. And I used to sit and cry because I was like, I don't know what to choose. Do I attempt to be in musical theatre or do I try and be a pop singer? Mm.
And then, and what did she say?
My mum actually said, you should... She said, I feel like musical theatre would be harder for you because it's...
Why?
Just because she said... Because of how many people are in it. And I don't know, she said it would be harder, but she also said she thought I should do musical theatre just because I was 14 years old and I was gay and I was living in a village with no gay people and I was went to school and there was no gay people in my school. And I think my mum just wanted me to be around gay people or just people of an artistic mindset like me. So she wanted me to go to drama school. But at the same time, she was just like, do whatever you feel.
Did you get a place at drama school?
No, I never auditioned. Never.
Because your best friend went to Arts Ed, didn't she?
Yeah, and I went to Sylvia Plath Saturday School, and I went four times.
Sylvia Plath or Sylvia Young?
Sylvia Plath. Sylvia Young.
The most depressing Saturday school ever.
Reciting poetry.
Singing the bell jar. Right.
But I went four times to Saturday school to Sylvia Young's.
Was it horrible?
It was great.
Oh, you
liked it? The fourth time,
the
singing teacher. It wasn't the proper school, so it was just a Saturday
Pixie
thing.
Lott wasn't there.
No, she went to the main school.
She was Italia Conti, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. Winehouse got kicked out of Sylvia Young's, didn't she? Mm. But I was...
Is that why you wanted to go to Sylvia Young?
No. I just wanted to go because I wanted to do musical theatre. But the singing teacher took interest in my voice, and he asked me to start coming to his studio. Oh. And I started to go to his studio instead of the Saturday school and record covers.
And so people were hearing this voice and thinking, we can do something with this immediately.
But before I met Sam and Jack, and Elvin,
your managers,
I'd had seven managers. I'd recorded one album when I was 15.
Oh, wow.
Was trying to get out of a record deal that my mum signed. I didn't even sign it.
Uh-oh.
And was already, so by the time I met Sam and Jack, I'd felt like I had been working for years. And I felt... like, it wasn't for me.
What, doing...
Pop music.
But that's just before mental.
Just before I met them, I was 18, 19, just moved to London, and I was like, do you know what, I don't want this life. I was like, I'm going to travel. I was like, I'll give it one more year of trying and trying to write music that fits. But if it doesn't work out, I'm just going to try and be young and just travel.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And then it happened, yeah.
And Latch...
Lay Me Down first.
Lay Me
Down. Yeah. First day I met Jimmy, we wrote Lay Me Down.
Oh, wow.
And then Sam and Jack met me and said, would you be up for writing with Disclosure?
So Jimmy is Jimmy Napes, who is an amazing songwriter who you wrote most of your stuff with.
Yeah.
And they, Sam and Jack, your managers, also managed Jimmy. And they were managing Jimmy at the time, were they?
Yes, yeah. And Disclosure.
And Disclosure. And so they heard Lay Me Down and they were like, we're having a piece of this...
Yeah, they were just like, they played it to the boys, and then I met Disclosure, and the same day I met them, we wrote Latch. It was like a weird domino effect. That first two years was just like, it just all happened so quick. But yeah, so thankful it did. Wow.
Have you written a lot with Jimmy this time?
Yeah, he's got. And he produces the record.
You went away from each other for a little bit and tried to kind of do your own
thing. 2 month period where I had to walk away.
Yeah.
And discover what I wanted to say as an artist. You know, I love Jimmy, he's amazing, but it's my album, so I have to figure out what I've got to say. And also, me and Jimmy were writing the same song again and again, because we listened to In the Lonely Hour too many times.
Yeah, and then you're probably trying to second guess, you're trying to make a stay with me round two, accidentally, not because you necessarily want it, I can presume, but you kind of go, well,
yeah,
that worked, and people like it. And
but then our distance, after that 2-month period, we came back, and me and him went to Ireland together,
yeah,
and we were just writing, we wrote Midnight Train and Pray.
You had this, I remember because Jimmy's wife was over here, and you were having this kind of slightly romantic getaway in Ireland, you're drinking loads of whiskey.
Yeah, Guinness.
Guinness.
It was beautiful.
What
and
we just
got to reconnect with each other and be in. It was so important to just be in the middle of nowhere, and we had no phone signal. We just had to sit and chat, and it was just amazing. He's such a vital part of what I do. Mm. He really is.
Do you want children? You do?
Massively. Yeah, it's like my life plan, and I'll do it with or without a man.
Would you do adoption, or would you do?
I don't know. I think I might do both.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know yet. When I was in, went to Iraq to the camps, that made me want to adopt.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because there's so many kids out there that just don't have families at home.
Who got you involved with? Was it War Child?
War Child, yeah, it was amazing, amazing.
Are you going to do more work with them?
Yeah, 100%, incredible. But yeah, I want kids so bad. I just feel like it's nature's way of reminding you that it's not about you.
It's certainly a way of reminding you.
It makes you, like, not selfish.
Yeah.
But I've never had a kid. You two have, so I don't
know. I don't know.
The thing I ever did in my life.
Yeah. Oh.
Without doubt.
It's. Yeah. I mean, it's been wild this year, but it's also pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That's the best thing. But
yeah, but also you've got so many stages to go through. Are you excited for when you can just sit and have a glass of wine with her?
What, with her?
Yeah.
I have a glass of wine with her when she's in the bath. I'm having wine. Yeah, don't worry, it's already started.
But when you can sit and talk about life and like,
I know, I can't wait for her to start talking, actually. I think that's like,
I think she's going to be a great talk. And she's quite funny.
She's quite entertaining. Like, she goes for the laugh, which is quite good fun.
Oh, she's going to be wonderful.
No, it's going to be a mad year. You're not doing festivals.
No, which I'm a bit upset about, actually. I wanted to do them.
Well, would you do them the year after, maybe?
But it depends how long it goes on for, right?
Well, how long did the last one go? Like 2.5 years?
Yeah.
Well, too long or not? Did it feel
too
long?
It felt too long, but it was longer because of the Bond thing. But it's, I don't know. The music has changed so much.
I know.
Going into it, like, it's crazy how much has changed
streaming
in 3 years.
I know.
It's mad, like, and I don't know. It's weird, I was talking to John Mayer the other day. He said something amazing to me.
I fancy him so much.
He's beautiful. But he said something amazing to me, which will stay with me forever. He was like, he said, we make red t-shirts. Everyone's making blue t-shirts right now. Don't make bad blue t-shirts. Carry on making good red t-shirts and camp out. And it's so true.
That's such a good idea. Isn't it so true?
I think it's so true. Because I just think, in the climate music right now, people aren't really listening to singer-songwriters and I'm talking about more just like the climate of pop music when you're performing at award shows and stuff. It's just, I feel like the odd one out a little bit sometimes.
We're both kind of waiting. I mean, I think we know your album's going to do all right, but it's just this weird period before the album comes out where you're just in this like threshold, like it's just slightly unnerving.
Yeah.
When really all you want to do is play the gigs.
Completely. Once it's out, it'll be beautiful and fine. It's just the hype that It's a lot, isn't it?
It must be hard for you at the moment.
It's fine.
You're dealing with it really well.
I feel really chilled.
You seem really relaxed.
I think it's the non-drinking that helps.
Really?
Yeah.
But you're not a massive drinker.
No, but I think before, when something good would happen, I'd go out and celebrate, and then it just made everything more like, oh my God. Mm. Whereas now, I just go to a hotel room and chill and kind of wind down. And I don't know, I'm still watching Bake Off at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday.
Like, it's a dream, man.
Whilst promoting a record is great.
Right, back to the food. Death row, we haven't asked this one. Death row, you're on death row. What's your final meal?
Fish and chips.
From where? Large fish and chips.
From a legit, like, really good seaside fish and chip shop.
Okay, fine.
But fish and chips with a pickled onion, a battered sausage,
okay.
Bread and butter.
The shop.
Bread and butter and a Savoy for the walk.
So you're not even going starter?
No, just
you're
like
just
the
going
biggest
like
main
three
meal.
Meat mains.
Basically everything that's in the fish and chip shop.
Is that like your, one of your favourite things?
Yeah.
When do you have it?
And curry sauce. I forgot.
When do you have that? Do you have it a lot?
No, but it's one of those.
It's quite a hard one to digest.
You eat it and then you have to open your buttons and just like lay back and roll around. Yeah. It's like Christmas dinner. Do you ever, on Christmas dinners, do you have to excuse yourself and lay on the bed for a minute?
No, I lay on the sofa and then I rev myself up for the turkey sandwich.
Really?
That I watch, that I'll eat whilst watching TV. Like, I don't give up.
I knock myself out. So. I have to go and lay down and I roll around in pain. Like a buffalo, and then come back down and do it again.
Who's cooking Christmas?
We change. We alternate between mum and dad. So last year was dad's Christmas, which was great.
And will your mum go?
And we see mum Boxing Day.
Oh, okay.
So we just change it. So we have mum Christmas this year, which is great.
And she's great.
It'll be better food.
Yeah. Will you cook anything?
No. Mum loves doing it. But I think we might do something for Boxing Day at my house with my dad and his family and stuff.
That's
which would
nice.
Be nice.
Right, okay, last question. As this is called table manners, what table manners do you require, or what really pisses you off at the dinner table when people are doing certain things?
Do you know what? My mum was huge on table manners.
Really?
Huge. Yeah. It was her big thing as kids.
Like, what would she make you do? Because my mum used to always say...
She hated it when you'd eat and then hold your cutlery up like that when you're talking.
Mm. Yeah. So you'd have to put your cutlery down.
Put your cutlery down when you're, when you're eating. I hate when people rush and just have their head in it.
Mm, that's me.
Other than that, nothing. Sitting around a table eating dinner is about taking your time, conversation, sharing food, I think. I don't.
Me too.
I
share too much. I take all the food before everybody can share it. That's the problem.
People don't like sharing. My team in the restaurants, I'm always like, start us to share whenever we go anywhere because.
Me too.
I don't see the point in being in an amazing restaurant and us all not experiencing the same thing together.
Agreed. Agreed.
The only thing is, if you share with Jessie, she's eaten it.
I don't understand why people in curry places get their own main.
Oh,
I'm like,
weird.
Fuck you.
Weird. Me too. I get aggressive.
Thanks so much for being on this.
Pleasure, babe. That's so nice.
Oh, it's just nice to see
it's
you,
so
isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
No, I'm really, really happy we got to chat.
Me too.
And thank you so much for being on Table Manners.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for cooking.
Pleasure, darling.
Thank you.
We'll do Friday night dinner next time.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll do proper Friday night.
So, Sam Smith. Fabulous guest, I thought.
I thought it was really interesting listening to all about what he's doing at the moment and his family and what he's done.
He just seems so unfazed by it. Like, there's me, like, I'm, like, breaking out. My skin is breaking out. I'm, like, taking voice tea and he's there with a cold, having a fag and being like, ah, daft to sing in 4 days. I wish I could be as unneurotic as he is. He's just taking it in his stride.
He's just such a thoroughly nice person and very generous and not show-offy and just for someone who's had such fantastic success, he's just very quite, I mean, he's confident about his abilities, but he's not a show-off and he's very aware of his he's very aware of himself and that he's lucky and that he's done very well.
And it's completely genuine. And I think that, you know, I've seen it like firsthand, you know, whether he's so thoughtful, whether it's sending me flowers for when the baby was born or making sure that I'm okay when I was in LA and I was on my own and I was writing. And, you know, he's got all these, when he's loyal and he's obsessed with his family and they go everywhere with him. It's not like, you know, like... He's kind of cares. Yeah, I love him. He's so honest as well.
Yeah, he's honest.
He's good fun.
He's great fun. He's got a great sense. He seems much older than 25, don't you think?
I guess he's had a bit of a mental...
Yeah, he's grown up. He's grown up. I mean, you feel he's someone... He's very mature, isn't he?
Oh, he's been in the industry since he was 11.
11.
11.
I feel I didn't push you hard enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could be.
You could be big now, Jess.
Samantha Smith right now. By the way, if you've been enjoying the music, please listen to more by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. And a little fact for you, Peter Duffy and I used to be in a band called Man Like Me together, and it was brilliant, and I got nodules from it because they used to make me belt so much. So thanks, Pete, for getting involved on this. And Pete Fraser was also the saxophonist in it. So it's saxophonist. All right, sorry, saxophonist. Fucking this has been Table Manners. Thank you so much for listening. And if you are enjoying our podcast, please, if you wouldn't mind subscribing, that would be fabulous. And also, if you'd like to rate us, we'd love a few 5 stars.
Five stars, Jessie.
You know what my Uber rating is?
What?
4.4. That's shocking.
I don't even know what mine is. I better check. I think I'm so bossy. I've got about 3.
Mum, this is us being assertive women.
Yeah, that's what
is getting us in the shtick with Uber.